welcome to Missionary Echoes, a ministry of the God's Missionary Church in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. Thank you for joining us today. I'm Pastor Joel Sickler, and I trust that you'll be blessed as we worship the Lord together.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run.
Eric Little was born in 1902 in China to Scottish missionary parents. Growing up in a Christian household, his faith was central to his life. His family eventually returned to Scotland, where Eric's athletic talents became evident. He excelled in rugby and later became one of the fastest runners in his country. By 1924, he was a favorite to win the gold medal in the 100 meters at the Paris Olympics. However, when the Olympic schedule was released, Eric faced a dilemma. The 100-meter race, his best event, was scheduled for a Sunday. Eric, who deeply believed in keeping the Sabbath day holy, refused to run, even though it was a once-in-a-lifetime opportunity. He was pressured by coaches, fellow athletes, and even his countrymen, but his faith was stronger than the desire for fame or glory. He surrendered his dreams of winning the 100 meters and trusted God with the outcome. He was eventually given the opportunity to compete in the 400-meter race, a race for which he had not been favored. Before the race, an American trainer handed him a note that read, "He who honors me, I will honor," quoting 1 Samuel 2, verse 30. Eric ran the race that day with all his might, fueled by his faith, and to the amazement of the crowd, he won the gold medal and set a new world record. But this victory was just a small part of Eric's surrender. While many Olympic champions would have gone on to fame and fortune, Eric chose a different path. After graduating from university, he returned to China in 1925 as a missionary, following in his parents' footsteps. He taught in a school, served in medical missions, and shared the gospel wherever he went. His athletic achievements became secondary to his greater calling, that of serving God in a land filled with hardship. Then, in the 1930s, the political situation in China deteriorated due to the Japanese invasion, and life for missionaries became increasingly dangerous. Many foreign nationals were urged to leave, but Eric chose to stay, feeling called to serve the Chinese people in this, their greatest time of need. In 1941, with World War II raging, Eric sent his pregnant wife and children back to Canada, but he remained behind in China. By 1943, Eric was interned by the Japanese in a prison camp, along with other foreign missionaries and civilians, and conditions were harsh, with little food and rampant disease. Yet, even in the internment camp, Eric Little continued to serve others. He organized activities for the children, taught Bible studies, and even encouraged his fellow prisoners to remain strong in their faith. He was known for his selflessness, often giving away the little food he had to others who were in greater need. Despite the harsh conditions, Eric's faith never wavered. He surrendered not just his Olympic dreams, but his entire life to God, trusting Him in every situation. In the camp, he became a beacon of love and hope, showing the light of Christ to all around him. But tragically, in 1945, just a few months before the camp was liberated, he died of a brain tumor at the age of 43. It is said that his final words were, "It's complete surrender," as if summarizing his life's commitment to God. What a powerful story. and a powerful testament to what it means to completely surrender one's life to God. Eric gave up worldly fame and success, choosing instead to follow God's calling. In the face of danger, deprivation, and death, his faith never faltered. He was fully surrendered to the will of God. My friend, this morning for today's broadcast, I look forward to introducing to you our new senior pastor at Lebanon God's Missionary Church, Reverend Curtis Going, as he shares the message with us this morning. I hope that you'll be able to stay with us for today's broadcast.
Ever since Jesus saved and pardoned, I have been singing every day. I've never been sorry that I trusted his name. Through the dark shadows, he is with me, leading me on the upward way. I've never been sorry that I trusted his name. I've never been sorry that I trusted his name. Every moment I find him exactly the same. My soul has been singing since the Savior came. I've never been sorry that I trusted his name.
All the day long I sing the story, praising him for his wondrous love. I've never been sorry that I trusted his name. Surely I know a home is waiting, beautiful home in heaven above. I've never been sorry that I trusted his name.
I've never been sorry that I trusted his name. Every moment I find him exactly the same. My soul has been singing since the Savior came. I've never been sorry that I trusted his name.
I've never been sorry that I trusted his name. Every moment I find him exactly the same. My soul has been singing
every day
since the Savior came. I've never been sorry that I trusted his name. My soul has been singing since the Savior came. I've never been sorry that I trusted his name.
That was Steve and Nicole Cassidy with the song "I've Never Been Sorry." That's one thing, my friend. If you have surrendered to Jesus Christ, you too can say that you've never been sorry, because God never fails us. He's a faithful God. He's so very, very good to us. Let's look to the Lord in prayer even now and take some of our concerns to him. Dear Lord, we thank you for your goodness. We thank you that you are faithful, that you never fail. And Lord, today, as many are gathering into your house to worship you, I pray that you would just meet with us in a special way. Even in this program right now, would you help the listener? You see the situations they may be facing, the things that are concerning to them. I pray that you would help them. May they seek after you and find you to be their helper, their guide, their savior, their hope in every circumstance. Dear Lord, you see the one this morning that may be dealing with a physical need, and they need a touch from you. I pray that you would be with them in a special way. Lord, for this program, would you accomplish your will? Help us to see, Lord, as we surrender our lives to you, that you have grace, you have hope, you have help sufficient for every need. Pray that you would guide and direct throughout this day. We ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. This program is an outreach of the God's Missionary Church at 2127 Hill Street in Lebanon, Pennsylvania. If you don't have a church family, I invite you to join us each Sunday morning at 9:30 for Sunday school, 10:30 for a morning worship service, and 6 o'clock p.m. for an evening worship service. On Wednesday nights, we have a prayer and praise service at 7 o'clock p.m. I hope you'll be able to join us in person for our services, but if not, you can always go to LebanonGMC.com, where you can watch live broadcasts of the services, find out about upcoming events, and even share prayer requests with us. That's LebanonGMC.com.
It's not what I prayed for. It's not what I wanted. It's not something I understand. My circumstances seem so confusing. I'm placing it all in your hands. Your ways are I want mountains to move. You want me to climb. So I'm gonna trust your work, your will in your time. Your ways are higher than mine.
That was the Collingsworth family with the song entitled Your Ways Are Higher Than Mine. It's my privilege this morning to introduce you to our new senior pastor at Lebanon God's Missionary Church, Reverend Curtis Going. I trust that you'll be both challenged and blessed by the message this morning.
I want to bring your attention this morning to the book of Leviticus. Now, I know that Leviticus isn't a book where we would typically turn to find inspiration, But there are some rich lessons that we can learn from this important Old Testament book. And in chapter 8, God is laying out instructions for his tabernacle in the wilderness. He has set aside Aaron and his sons to be the high priests, and in this chapter, God explains how Aaron and his sons are to be consecrated for this important work. In verses 22 through 24, the writer describes a ritual that's very strange and unusual to our modern ears. He said he brought the other ram, the ram of consecration, and Aaron and his sons laid their hands upon the head of the ram, and he slew it. And Moses took of the blood of it, and put it upon the tip of Aaron's right ear, and upon the thumb of his right hand, and upon the great toe of his right foot. And he brought Aaron's sons, and Moses put of the blood upon the tip of their right ear, and upon the thumbs of their right hands, and upon the great toes of their right feet. Now I've read that passage many times, and I've wondered, what in the world is the meaning of that? And a couple years ago, I was reading a little devotional book, and the author explained this Old Testament ritual in a way that finally made it start to make sense to me. First, the priest's ear was touched with the blood of the ram of consecration. What do we do with our ears? We hear. And when the priest's ear was touched with that blood, it was a visible symbol that God wanted the priest's ear to belong to him exclusively. The message for us is that God wants full possession of our ears. He wants us to be tuned in to hear his voice above every other voice in our world. God wants our ears so that we will listen to him and do his will. God wants your ear. And then the priest's thumb was touched with the blood of the ram. What do we do with our thumbs? We grasp things. We hold on to things. And when the priest's thumb was touched with the blood, it was a visible symbol that God wanted to control everything that belonged to the priests. And the message for us is that God wants us to give him everything that we hold in our hands. Everything that we possess belongs to God. Too often we hold on to the things of this life so tightly. We're tempted to hold on to our money and financial resources, our plans for the future, our family, our own opinions and perspectives. We want to hold on to unhealthy relationships. We want to hold on to the brokenness and the hurts of the past and 1,001 different things. But God touches your thumb and he says, I want everything you're holding in your hands. God wants your thumb. But really, the whole point of this Old Testament ritual is captured by the fact that God wants your big toe. Now, I know that sounds a little humorous on the surface, but when Moses touched the blood of the ram to the big toe on the right foot of the priests, it was God's way of saying to the priests and saying to us, I want to direct the steps of your life. When Moses touched the ear and the thumb and the toe of the priests, it wasn't just God saying, I want your ear and your thumb and your big toe, but it was God saying, head to toe, I want all of you that there is to have. I want everything. And that's called complete surrender. That's called abandonment to God. And the bottom line is that the success of your life as God sees it in light of eternity hinges entirely on whether or not you've surrendered all your ways to the Lord. But too often we're like the 3-year-old girl I heard about who saw a bright, shiny object on the ground, and so she picked it up. And she came holding it in her hand. She said, Daddy, look at what I found. Isn't it pretty? And her daddy looked down to see that she had a double-edged razor in her pudgy little hand. And in his mind, he was thinking, how do I take that blade out of her hand? If I try to take it away, she'll hold on to it tighter. And if she does that, she may cut herself enough to carry a scar for the rest of her life. And so he looked down at his little 3-year-old daughter, and he said, Honey, that's very dangerous. It'll cut you. Don't close your hand. I want you to give that to Daddy. But it's mine, she said. Mine is the favorite word of a 3-year-old. Yes, I know, honey, but it's dangerous. I want you to let me take it. And he stepped a little closer to her, and as he did, she began to close her tiny little hand. Don't do that, honey. It'll cut you, and then I'll have to take you to see Dr. Jones. Finally, this loving father assumed a curious attitude about his daughter's new treasure, and he said, "It certainly looks pretty. May I look at it?" And he cupped her little palm in his hand, and while he shared her pleasure in the find, he gently pulled back her fingers one by one until he could lift that dangerous, deadly instrument from her hand. I wonder, have you ever been the three-year-old in that story? Holding on to things that you should let go of. Holding on to things that are not helpful. Holding on to things that are damaging and hurtful and destructive. And God speaks and he says, "I want you to give that to me." But instead of giving it to him, you clench your fist and say, "No, this is mine. This is my right. This belongs to me." But your perfect Heavenly Father says, "If you'll loosen your grip, if you'll give me what's in your hands, I've got something so much better that I want to give you in exchange." Dr. Helen Rosevere was a missionary doctor in the Belgian Congo, now known as the Democratic Republic of the Congo. She was there in the 1950s and 1960s, and she suffered through some very difficult trials during her years as a missionary. She wrote about some of her experiences in a book called Living Sacrifice. And Dr. Rosevere's description of what it means to be a living sacrifice may be one of the best that I've ever read. It's a good description of what God intended to communicate through this Old Testament ritual in Leviticus. She said, "To be a living sacrifice will involve all my time. God wants me to live every minute for Him in accordance with His will and His purpose." She went on to write, "To be a living sacrifice will involve all my possessions. All should be available to God for the furtherance of His kingdom. My money is His. He has the right to direct the spending of each penny. I must consider that I own nothing. All is God's, and what I have on trust from Him to be used as He wishes." She said, "To be a living sacrifice will involve all of myself, my will and my emotions, my health and vitality, my thinking and activities are all to be available to God to be employed as He chooses to reveal Himself to others. Should He see that someone would be helped to know Him through my being ill, I accept ill health and weakness. I have no right to demand what we call good health. All rights are His to direct my living so that He can most clearly reveal Himself through me. God has the right, then, to choose my job and where I work, to choose my companions and my friends. To be a living sacrifice will involve all my love. I relinquish the right to choose whom I will love and how, giving the Lord the right to choose for me. Whether I have a life partner or not is wholly His to decide, and I accept gladly His best will for my life. I must bring all the areas of my affections to the Lord for His control, for here, above all else, I need to sacrifice my right to choose for myself. I need to be so utterly God's that He can use me or hide me as He chooses, as an arrow in His hand or in His quiver. I will ask no questions. I relinquish all rights to know Him who desires my supreme good. He knows best." Let me be the first to say that that kind of surrender is easier talked about than it is lived out. And yet God's greatest blessing and His greatest rewards are reserved for those whose surrender is absolutely complete. And so I remind you today that God wants your ear, He wants your thumb, He wants your big toe, He wants all of you that there is to have.
Lord, help my unbelief.
Our time for this program is quickly coming to a close, but if you have a question about how to be saved or a spiritual matter, we would love to talk with you and share Jesus with you in person. You can stop by today during regular service times at 10:30 this morning or 6 o'clock tonight, or you can call our church office and set up an appointment with someone who cares about your spiritual state. The number to call is 717-273-3690, or send us an email at lebgmc@gmail.com. We would love to hear from you and address any questions you would have. I'm Pastor Joel, wishing you a very blessed week.
Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone before us. Dare to run in the power of His Spirit, called to be victors in a race already won. Dare to run. We must have our Savior's vision, compassion for the lost, courage for the future, love at any cost. Dare to run with our eyes fixed on Jesus, following the footsteps of the one who's gone.